I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Thanks for being with us today. The Umbrella Man on the grassy knoll shot JFK with a poison dart. 9/11 was an inside job. Conspiracy theories. As long as people have been around, there have been stories, even outlandish ones, to explain everything. Over the past few days, Apple, Facebook, Spotify, and YouTube have been busy taking down content provided by right-wing talk show host Alex Jones. They accuse him of hate speech. He's also claimed 9/11 was an inside job and spread the story that the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012 was a hoax. Jones and his InfoWars show have been around for many years, but since the dawn of Trump, he's become more popular. In fact, after being removed from several platforms, the InfoWars app shot up to number 3 in the Apple News rankings today. This buy-in to conspiracy theories is far from an American phenomenon. In fact, it's long been far more prevalent in other countries. David Filipov knows this well. He was, until recently, the bureau chief in Moscow for the Washington Post. He's now editor of news at Northeastern University and joins me in our studios. Good to see you, David. So, conspiracy theories in Russia, how popular are they?
Who put you up to that question?
I'm capable of asking a few on my own.
How do we know that? You know, in Russia, there has so long been so little trust in the government. Way back to the Soviet Union, everybody could see that what they're saying is not true. They're saying we're living well, we're living badly. Ergo, everything they tell you is a lie. What's really going on? Who's really benefiting? That is the mindset of the average Russian consumer of news. And so whenever any news is put out, the first thing people ask is, they're telling us that. What do you think the story really is? What must be going on? Whether they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes. And the authorities in the Putin years have learned to manipulate this. Ah, they're criticizing the government. That must mean they're against Russia. Let's find out who's funding them. Is it the Soros Foundation? Is it the U.S. government? Is it the Department of State? Must be somebody who's against us. And they play on that uncertainty. And, you know, the best example that you can read in English is RT, question more. Like, what are they telling us? Why are they telling it this way? Let's find out the real truth. And so they can throw out any malarkey with no basis and no reasoning, just to say, well, there's this version which they're telling you, but we don't trust them. What about this? What if this were true? And thus murk up any possible fact.
RT, of course, is the Kremlin-funded English-language television coming out of Russia. So wasn't there like any period right after the fall of the Soviet Union and what we are seeing today in Russia where there was kind of an opening up where people were willing to like believe the truth?
So, I mean, really, my primitive way of analyzing this is, what do people think of the media? At the end of the Soviet Union, when independent journalists had opened up so much of the truth and allowed it to get printed and had it printed that people knew. So journalism, in a brief period, the late 80s, early 90s, had a good reputation because they were printing the things that people knew to be true. So for a while there, people would read reports and think that that's what's going on. And the journalists who did it were doing a good job. Independent journalism works against authoritarians. As authoritarians come in, they need to bend, break, twist, whatever, to make the media seem as untrustworthy as possible. And in Russia, what happened was various oligarchs took over independent media outlets to use them for their own gains and to improve their own situations, and therefore turned good journalists into what we used to call yellow journalism, right? Trust in the media decreased, the ability of the authorities to use the media increased. And that's what we got here if you jump to the United States right now, when half of Americans believe that when you and me open our mouths, we're lying by definition. That creates this place where somebody like a President Trump can say, well, that's what the media is telling you. They're criticizing me. But how do you know they're telling the truth? And whose interests are they really serving? I'm serving your interests. So they must not be their enemies. Don't believe them. Believe whatever it is I say.
You often appeared on Russian TV to explain stuff from the United States. You speak fluent Russian. How would you kind of debunk what was clearly a conspiracy theory from, you know, the audience?
Everything NATO is trying to do indicates that they're planning the invasion of Russia, or at least neutering Russia and making Russia subservient, is not so much a conspiracy theory, but it's a worldview that basically presumes that NATO is about to attack one way or another. I mean, you'd go, well, there's no evidence whatsoever. I mean, you see some military presence there, but they're not offensive. They're defensive units, and there never was and never is any plan. Oh, you're just deluded. Look at all these ships. Look at all these military forces. Clearly, NATO is coming through. And you'd try to give what you understand to be the facts. But the problem is, since I don't have a conspiracy theory in response, a conspiracy theorist already has a sharp argument. There was no Newtown. It was a big scam, the deep state. And you are trying to prove a negative. No traction. You cannot prove to somebody who believes in a conspiracy that it wasn't a conspiracy.
So, David Filipov, what I'm really intrigued by is, do you see similar trends in the U.S. that Russia went through, like right after the fall of the Soviet Union, that has led to fake news or conspiracy theories and has allowed them to kind of take root here?
Okay, so let's say the theory that the CIA developed the AIDS virus as a biological weapon that got out of control and then it's spreading all over the world, and that's why we have AIDS in Russia. That's a theory that got popular. And you would still see people into the 90s who still have that belief, people who haven't had that wiped by a stream of facts that they find adequate. When they go back to that story, that's what they remember. It's sort of like birthers, residual birthers, who still insist that even after Trump recanted on that and blamed Hillary Clinton, still insist that Barack Obama was born not in the United States, right? You basically see these residual stories. Ukraine shot down that jet as a way of picking a fight with Russia. The Americans poisoned the spies in England as a way of picking a fight with Russia. As long as you have the ending of that, they're looking for ways to pick fights with Russia. Then those theories continue to feed it, regardless of whichever facts get in the way. So here in the United States, we see that in political campaigns where people just bring up stuff or repeat stuff that's patently untrue.
The Kremlin, we believe, is behind the spread of some conspiracy theories, but do they ever clamp down? Do they ever try to prevent the spread of conspiracy theories?
The conspiracy that they've had the most work on is the one about Russian collusion. But you see, they didn't have a problem because it was easy to persuade ordinary Russians that this whole thing is crazy. Who thinks that a few Russian hackers can actually take down American democracy? So their response to our conspiracy theory that there's a bunch of Russian spies going around destroying our democracy and posting things on Facebook, it was very easy to get Russians to go, that is ridiculous. How can 49 ads on Facebook swing the election of the oldest continuously peaceful transition of power democracy in the universe? And, you know, I agree with them, actually. I actually think that the effect of all that has been overstated. It wasn't difficult for the Kremlin to shoot down this conspiracy theory because it lined up with everything Russians want to believe, that American democracy is something that you can't just undo.
So given all that, finally, do you have any thoughts on what speech, if any, should be removed from online platforms?
I don't think you should remove any of it. I think people should learn how to consume information. And I believe that, you know, in the Baltics, they've been doing this, trying to teach people how to consume news so that you can, for yourself, separate real facts based on facts from somebody's opinion, which is based on nonsense. People have to decide they want to learn, and then they have to be taught and have to learn how to distinguish fake stuff from real stuff. You can't do what the Kremlin does. They've got 4,500 sites that have been banned. You can't do that. You can't stop people from getting information. You have to teach people to understand how to read information.
That's David Filipov, news editor at Northeastern University here in Boston and formerly with The Washington Post in Moscow.